get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Impact Africa with Tope Fajanbasi. Africa has long been associated with needing aid and handouts. Today, you'll learn so much more about this wonderful continent from enlightening stories, people, and ideas. Now, here is your host, Tope Fajanbasi.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to all my listeners. I'm very happy to be here today discussing an issue I don't know too well, but I have two people who know the issues very well. So they're going to be schooling me tonight, and as well as, you know, sharing with you some of the latest technological developments in Africa. You know, as you probably have read in the news, the world's biggest technology players are increasing their stakes in Africa. From Google, IBM, Microsoft to Oracle, it looks like, you know, everybody has their sights set on being in Africa right now. You know, what's going on? Why is this happening? These are some of the issues that we'll be discussing today. And also, beyond those big players, there are also a lot of hubs brewing and shaking things up in the region. There are a lot of local players, and we will know how those are doing and, you know, what's going on, how Africa is benefiting otherwise, and how you, most importantly, can benefit from this. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my first guest. He is a very good friend of mine and a very inspiring personality. He's like a big brother. He is the managing director of Accenture in Nigeria, Mr. Nir Yusuf, who is, you know, he's just an expert when it comes to this area. So I'm very happy to have him here today. Nir, welcome to the show.
Hi, Topa. Good day, and thank you for having me.
And thank you for being awake. I know it's 12 midnight in Nigeria, so this is really good that you are here today. So, you know, Nir, there seems to be considerable focus on Africa by the global tech giants. For example, Bharti Airtel has got a multi-billion dollar presence in almost 16 countries. Google chairman was in Africa earlier, you know, this year. And he said Nairobi has become, you know, the African leader. There's also the French-based Orange, you know, company that, you know, coincidentally, they sponsored the African Cup of Nations this year. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has about 14 offices in Africa. What's driving this growth? Why are they all looking at Africa now?
All right, thanks, Tope. I think the African story, or the African renaissance, as some would call it, is an interesting one. And as an African who lives in Africa and who has also traveled extensively around other developed countries, it's clear to me that Africa, as some say, is the next frontier, perhaps the last frontier for growth. So why is Africa interesting? From a number of perspectives. One, in terms of talents. Talent in terms of human resources. Now, I know a number of people will consider Africa to be more a continent that's rich in natural physical resources, oil, gold, diamond, which is true. But beyond that, I think for me, Africa is rich in human talent. Talent from two perspectives. One would be in terms of the workforce and also potential consumers. So Africa today is 1 billion people. If you take Nigeria, Nigeria is 160 million people. Now, of that 160 million, 70% of us are below the age of 30.
Wow.
Now, that is an interesting consumer demography. So those are the consumers of tomorrow. But beyond that, they're also the workforce of tomorrow. And so if you catch them young, if you get them to stay loyal to your brand, you are basically building the future. You are assuring yourself of the future. So I would say that that's one reason why major companies are looking at Africa. Talent from a workforce, talent also from a consumer point of view. The second reason I would say is also from an innovation point of view. While some see crises as things to worry about, others see crises as opportunities to grow and to do new things. And so we're beginning to see innovation coming out of certain cities in Africa, from Lagos, from Nairobi. You talk about mobile money, that has done very well in Nairobi. If you look at what is happening in telecoms in Nigeria, if you look at what is happening in terms of Nollywood, that entertainment, which is now going mobile, all of that is innovation. And so Africa also could be, and it's turning out to be a source for innovation. Now, I think the other thought thing, it's also that Africa, it's as a whole economy, as a whole continent, is growing rapidly. So if you're looking for accelerated growth, Africa is where you need to be. I mean, we all understand what is happening in the Western world. So this year and next, US will probably grow like about 1 to 2%. Europe, if lucky, will grow 0.5 to 1%. But guess what? Africa is likely to grow minimum 5%. Countries like Nigeria will probably go like about 6.5%. And so for global giants who are suffering from the economic crisis in the Northern Hemisphere, it's clear to them that growth will come from Africa, and that is where quite a number of them are also coming to Africa. So for us Africans, it's interesting times. And we're seeing that in terms of increased foreign direct investment. We're also seeing that in terms of Africans who have been successful in the diaspora, they're not coming back home, either to set up businesses or to be top employers, management executives of companies in Africa. So whereas it used to be the brain drain, now we're seeing the brain gain of people coming back home.
You're right about that. I have a number of colleagues who have gone back home. And, you know, it's very interesting that you made the point about, you know, brain drain now becoming brain gain. And that leads me to my next question, which is, in the past, you would not have heard of Microsoft trying to give broadband access in cities in Kenya where there is no electricity. Now they are thinking about powering that with solar power and things like that. Now it looks like all those obstacles that used to prevent the big companies or even the local ones from playing before just don't seem to exist. Can you imagine somebody trying to give broadband access when there is no electricity? You would have thought, you know, one would come before the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is the problems of yesterday for a number of entrepreneurs are just hurdles to be crossed. They are no longer things that will stop growth. They are no longer things that will stop innovation. Rather, they are opportunities for us to do new things. Right? 10, 15 years ago was Asia. And I think a lot of us learned, a lot of the global companies learned from the growth in Asia. But now people understand that what happened in Asia 10, 15 years ago, perhaps that can also happen in Africa today and the next 5 years. And that really is what we're seeing. And what it shows to me is that if you take the market, so for instance, US is 350 million people. Now that is, so I mean, if you take the workforce in Africa, the workforce in Africa is more than the total population of US. So that begins to tell you of the enormous market that Africa can be. And so if you're able to just get a solution right, however small that solution is, but given the scale of Africa, given the bottom of the pyramid that we have, it's huge potential.
Wow!
Right, and I think why some see crisis, some see it as opportunity. And what is clear, and what I say to people is, where there's a will, there's a way. And why some are looking at crisis and they are struck, they can't move forward. Others focus on their own areas of strength, their own sphere of influence, and they do things to make things change.
Wow. Wow. Right. You know,
Everything in the street of Lagos, I see that. So it's not even from global companies. I also see that from local companies in the street of Lagos on a daily basis.
That's interesting, because my thing is, I look at big giants like Accenture. You've had decades to prepare for this, you know, for this expansion as the leading, you know, technology and others wives consulting company. But how is this explosion in foreign players affecting the homegrown talent?
I think in a number of ways. One, it's this explosion provides an opportunity for hardworking Africans to make progress in their professional career. Because what that means is, if you're hardworking, if you operate to global standards, then you can become an employee or a subscriber or a supplier to the global companies. And so the presence of the global companies has kind of uplifted the standards in terms of service delivery. Improved the standards also in terms of employee engagement. And so talents are enjoying that. And what I've also seen is that at a certain time, local entrepreneurs will typically learn the ropes, learn the trade from global companies, and then they move out to set up their own outfits, which for me is good. Because what that then means is that hopefully they will take the lessons that they've learned from the global companies and take that to set up their own companies. And for me, when there's competition, there's innovation. When there's competition, the consumer benefits, the African benefits.
Wow. You're right. You know, I actually hadn't thought about it in that light, in terms of, you know, taking some of those skills, expertise, and then actually, you know, doing something better with it. If you were to predict right now, you've seen, you are at a very vantage position, seeing, you know, both the local and international players, and seeing Nigeria 10 years ago, seeing it right now, and the rest of Africa. If you were to predict, close your eyes and say, in 2 years' time, where would Africa be in terms of technology? What should we be expecting?
In 2 years' time, what should we be expecting? I mean, what I would like to say is it's a global brand coming out of Africa. Right. That we've not had today, but I think increasingly we'll begin to have that. I mean, there have been quite a number of success stories coming out of the Eastern or coming out of South Africa. And I hope that in 2-3 years' time, we hopefully will have one global brand originating from Africa.
Wow.
Just like we have today from India or from China. That for me is what I like to see.
You know, I hope somebody who is listening today is going to take up that challenge, because I think that is doable. You know, one of the things that you said that I really liked was that there's the population, the working population of Africa is more than the population of the US. That's an enormous market. And if somebody had one very solid idea, not only would it explode in Africa, it would explode, you know, everywhere in the world.
Absolutely. And I said to people, we just need to be more industrious, and we also need to leverage our own comparative advantage. And so if you take Nigeria is noted for a number of things. I mean, the easiest today you talk about would be entertainment, whether it's music, whether it's video. I mean, Nigeria, the Nollywood industry, in terms of the output, is like third, only coming after Hollywood and Bollywood in India. And Africans and Nigerians are itinerant visitors. We are in so many places, in so many corners of this world. And everybody loves entertainment. So if we're able to use technology, mobile technology, to package the music or the drama and the entertainment coming out of Nollywood and push that out to the rest of the world, like Iroko is doing today and some of the guys are doing, that it's playing to our own advantage. And someday, I mean, next 2-3 years, that can actually be a global brand, something unique coming out of Africa for the rest of the world.
I definitely look forward to that. And I definitely am really happy that I started today's episode with this discussion, because it really sets the tone for the rest of the discussion I'm about to have with Bosun Tijani of Co-Creation Hub. Nii Yusuf, thank you so much, as usual, for sharing your knowledge and for spending time with me today.
Thanks, Ope, and take care, and good one, and well done for all the good work you're doing.
Thank you.
Africa's an exciting place, and please keep shining the light on Africa.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You're listening to Impact Africa, and we'll take a short break right now. When we come back, I have one of those people who is really shaping African technology. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope, that's T-O-P-E, at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa with Tope Fajangbesi. And today we're discussing Africa, the new technology frontier. Like my previous guest, Nia Yusuf, was telling us, the whole market in Africa is just an exciting place to be right now. So if you're listening and you want to be the next big thing, you know what sector to target. Technology can be tied into everything, food, agriculture, entertainment, and Africa needs that global brand. So perhaps it's going to be you. I hope you will be working on your ideas. So now I have one of those people who actually took those ideas to heart and they decided to enter the market and be big players. I'm telling you, Co-Creation Hub is just a huge inspiration. I really feel proud to be associated in some way with this team. I'm talking about Bosun Tijani. He's the CEO and one of the co-founders of Co-Creation Hub. Bosun, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tope. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for staying awake today.
No, that's all right. I don't get to sleep early anyway, so.
Oh, and you sound really alert.
So. Yeah, it's not out of the ordinary for me.
Well done to you guys. I think you're doing such a fantastic job. But so tell me about you and your partners and why you all decided that this was the time to have Co-Creation Hub.
Well, interesting. So, my name is Bosun Tijani, and I founded Co-Creation Hub with Femi Lunge, a longtime friend of mine, actually. And Co-Creation Hub came out of some sort of consciousness within both of us as to what we think we can do to sort of contribute to the development of our home nation, which is Nigeria. The thinking started way back in 2008 in the UK when I was working for an innovation consulting firm based in the UK, and Femi was also working for a former social innovation center in London called the Young Foundation. And our thinking literally was, you know, we after a bit of back and forth, we figured some of the things that we thought or we saw that was missing in our society back home is actually the application of knowledge. People looking at issues and stepping back to say, you know, how can we dig deep and find proven knowledge to create solutions to some of the challenges in our society. But also with that awareness came the fact that there's also little support for inventors, innovative people, creative guys, to actually take the ideas from being just an ordinary idea to a prototype that you can then take to market and actually be able to test and see whether you can use that prototype to solve a particular solution. So we figured what we're going to do is set up an organization, which today is called Co-Creation Hub. And the organization will become an innovation center with a strong focus on solving social problems. Considering we won't be able to do everything, we thought our focus will be on the use of technology to solve social problems. And I think that focus also was partly informed by our own love for technology, our understanding of how technology can be used to leapfrog development in different sectors. You mentioned that at the start of this program, be it education, agriculture, healthcare, name it. But also the fact that the diffusion of technology in Africa is actually really going up. And when you look at it from a mobile technology point of view, this is perhaps one of the few technology in history that is becoming really ubiquitous in Africa. It's one of the few technology in history that you probably can find in any homes in Africa. So we thought there's a lot we can do with the mobile technology platform to address issues. And what we'll do is to set up that organization that will be able to identify people with talents, people with great ideas, and help them through the process of making the ideas come to fruition and become reality. And that's what we did in 2010. Today, CC Hub is a major player within the technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship space in Nigeria, and I think the whole of Africa as well, which also speaks volume to the interest in the application of technology to solve problems in Africa.
Interesting. Interesting. So are you guys millionaires now? Can I quit my job? if there are millions there, I can manage you.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. Are we millionaires? Perhaps not. But I think what we've been able to do is build an organization which is a social enterprise. So perhaps why we're not millionaires. Because the original interest of the organization is to be able to provide a platform to allow people explore and solve social problems. So for us, measuring success first starts from the impact our technology, the technology we help to build, generates in Nigeria. Then second, for sustainability's sake, comes money. So how much money can you make with the technology? And again, so the organization in itself, I think CC Hub is probably worth more than $1 million. So wow. If you're talking about whether we're a millionaire, from the angle of what we do, from the support we receive, yeah, it is more than that. But it's just 2 years into what we set out to do, and our aspiration is to build the media lab of Africa, really. So there's going to be a lot of investment that will go into that. We started with a single floor in a 7-story building, which is just about 200 square meters. Today, that's gone up to 3 floors, and hopefully, we're still negotiating another floor. So we're investing heavily into what we do because we understand that the infrastructure will need to be there. The support that we give to would-be entrepreneurs, technologies, will need to also make sure that it's the best of it you can think of. If you come to our innovation center, perhaps you probably think you're anywhere in the world, actually. The quality is really good.
Wow, fantastic. I'm going to take that as an invitation to be there, because when next I'm in Nigeria, I'm coming to your innovation center.
Absolutely. You shouldn't miss it.
I will not miss it for anything in the world. When I was in Nigeria earlier this year, I passed by the Computer Village.
Yeah.
And I had been hearing about Computer Village, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what kind of spectacle it was. And I just drove by there, and the sheer volume of people and activity going on there.
Absolutely. That's one of the typical places where you find the true entrepreneurship spirit in Nigeria. They're quite innovative in their own right. It's an absolutely interesting place. I think I saw some figures around how huge the market is, how many people are employed within the space. I think they do in the range of $1 billion turnover.
Wow.
Within that location, yeah, in a year, if not, yeah, I can't really lay my hand on the figures because
wow.
data are difficult to find. But Computer Village is a major part of the tech innovation in Nigeria, and I think in the whole of West Africa, because they also serve markets like Ghana,
wow.
like Benin Republic, all the close by countries also
wow.
do come there.
Yeah.
To find devices. So what they do to the innovation space in Africa is provide access to devices, to equipment that technologies need to use without having to leave Nigeria. So you can probably find any sort of devices that you want
wow.
in the world at the Computer Village.
I'm completely, you know, shocked that, you know, this much. I've only been out of Nigeria for 11 years and
yeah.
so much has happened. But you know, when you're in this kind of space, two
yeah.
years, 3 years, there will be things that will make you know when you wake up in the morning, you're like, why am I doing this again?
Absolutely.
You know, very frustrated. But there
Absolutely.
Will be one or two stories out of, you know, CC Hub that
yeah.
will make you realize, yes, I'm surely on the right path.
On the right path.
You know, we can you share one or two of those with me?
I think I probably can share two,
okay.
which for us is a source of major motivation. Of course, you understand that innovation is expensive. It's a long process as well. It's not something you do in a year or two and you start to see massive results. I think US is a good example of a nation that understands innovation and invests in it heavily. But I think what we're able to do in less than 1 year, we stumbled upon an idea. So a guy who used to be a banker came up with an idea to use technology to help improve transparency within government in Nigeria. And simply what he wanted to do was get the average Nigerian citizens to have a thorough understanding of the government budgets. His thinking was for us to hold our governments accountable. We need to understand what sort of budget we make available to them, what that budget can do. And he believes that that's going to build up the understanding in people and make more Nigerians to become active citizens, not just passive citizens, you know, so they can engage their government and demand for more. And, you know, when we met this guy, we thought he was onto something interesting. So we got him into our system and decided to support him. But most people that came across this idea felt, you know, where are you going to make money from? How are you going to be able to sustain this sort of initiative? But in less than 12 months, the name of the organization is Budget, employs about 8 to 10 people right now in less than 2 years. And in less than 12 months, actually became one of the strong budget transparency organizations
wow.
in the whole of Africa.
Wow.
Today, they do works like educate the lawmakers on how to interpret budgets, which we think, you know, is a good part, because you even find some of the lawmakers don't understand how to interpret this budget. So that's on one side, from a citizen that chose to contribute and build something that can actually help open up Nigeria and make it more governable. Then the other bit is from the government themselves. So we're located in Yaba, which is an interesting area of Lagos State. They're interesting organizations, higher education institute, all the ingredients you expect within an innovation ecosystem, like something close to what you have around the Kendall Square in Cambridge, in Boston. So we thought we have something serious going on here, and how can we leverage that to grow what you would call the Nigerian Silicon Valley, in essence? And we approached the government of Lagos State, and to our surprise, the government was actually very receptive.
Wow.
And they decided to waive the right of way fee for
wow.
main one cable company to lay fiber optic cable in Yaba.
Wow.
So something that would have cost about 150 million naira, something around $1 million. The
wow.
government waived that. And in about 2 to 3 months' time, we will have fiber optic cable in Yaba. And Yaba will truly live up and become that innovation cluster or our Silicon Valley. In
you know, it's funny because you have to know Yaba to know you know, why I'm laughing.
Absolutely.
it's a hub of some sort. And I'm really happy because with all the bad news that is coming out of Africa all the time, it's very good to be able to hear this kind of stories and to know that, you know, stuff is really happening. This is really interesting. I'm going to ask you to stay awake for one more moment because I want to take a break right now. And when we come back, I have some more questions to ask you.
Okay.
So you're listening to Impact Africa, and my guest right now is Bosun Tijani of Co-Creation Hub. Don't go away.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope, that's T-O-P-E, at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa. And, you know, honestly, when I started this today's show, I was a bit nervous. I was telling, you know, my team at VA that I was a bit nervous because I don't really know much about technology. I'm just a user. But I'm really getting such an education today, and I'm also getting a very good laugh. Before we went on the show, on the break, Bosun was telling me about Yaba, you know, getting fiber optic cable. This is really interesting. I'm talking, you know, Fios, like in America. That is such a leap forward, and I'm so proud of, you know, what is going on there. But let me ask you a question. With technology comes risk.
Absolutely.
You know, huge risk. And when you look at the developed countries, there's, you know, it looks like the law enforcement always, you know, follow the technology, or in fact, they are ahead of technology to solve those cyber crimes. Yeah. With all this leap in technology going on in Africa, and with the law enforcement not being as advanced, do you see a problem?
In all fairness, I think that's a question that I think touches on something that is dear to my heart. So I'm quite aware that while we're pushing technology, the application of technology in Africa, not just Nigeria, I'm quite aware that the lawmakers and the government are not necessarily moving at the same pace. Because most of these developments, if you ask me, are being driven by individuals or organizations who see the possibilities and are interested in making sure that we use technology for gains in Africa. But the unfortunate thing is these individuals won't be responsible for putting in the policies and the right structure to support and ensure that we're not taking the use of technology out of context. Because with the use of technology comes so many things. Like in Africa, mobile is the big thing. And with mobile, you know that you can easily be tracked. People can follow you anywhere. You can be monitored. And without a government that will put in the right measures in place to secure and ensure that privacy is big, it's a big problem and it's a big concern for me. So whenever I get the chance, what I do, because from my understanding, smart, creative individuals are the ones pushing the development in Africa forward. And what I tend to do when I get the opportunity is, if anyone is out there listening who is an expert when it comes to privacy, online privacy, and you're interested in helping Africa to understand, you know, how to put the right policies in place, I think the time is now. You know, especially if you're someone with roots in Africa, you've also got to consider that. Because while we're building the awareness and the application of technology, we also need to make sure that the right instruments are in place to protect the ordinary citizen, so that technology is not used against us as people and as society.
Wow, you know, now this is the second charge that people are getting on the show today. First of all, Nii Yusuf asked people to come, somebody to come up with a global brand that will originate from Africa. Now you're asking people who know about, you know, cybersecurity, privacy, and things like that to come out. Yeah. And I think it's very interesting. It's very important because, you know, I hadn't really thought about the fact that, you know, think about it. You know, the issue of kidnapping people, which is a huge problem in that part of Africa. You know, can you imagine kidnappers having access to trail you via their mobile phones?
Absolutely. There's a worrying rumor. I'll call it rumor because I don't have anything to back it up. That in a part of Africa, mobile phone was being used and mapping technology was being used to map the gay community, for instance.
Wow.
And they were getting attacked, you know, because people now know where they live and, you know, how to track them down, which for me is worrying. That's another interesting and sad use of technology. I don't have any facts or any source to back this up, but if that is real, then that's a big problem. And those are the kind of things we need to make sure that we protect our society against.
Wow. And if somebody had an idea, somebody had a big idea, especially as it concerns privacy and online security, how do they contact you all?
Well, I think on our website, there's a red button on the homepage that says, if you have an interesting idea, get in touch. Or if you go to our contact page, you know, our details are there. On the Teams page, you will find my contact information as well. I think we'll be happy to talk to people, not only work with them from a CCO point of view. We'll be happy to also introduce them to organizations that can support them to make good ideas come to life, you know, around things on cybersecurity and privacy. The thing with Africa is, if you have a great idea at the moment, you know, I think the market is hungry for people who are solution providers, and there are tons of interesting organizations out there who are happy to support great people. We got interesting support from organizations from around the world, from the US, from the UK, and these guys are still looking for people who wants to do good things, and they'll push them forward.
Wow, fantastic. So now you have it. Everybody who's listening, tell your friends, tell everybody you know who can create something. I wish I could create an app, believe me, but I don't know anything about technology. I just use it. So, but if you have the idea, you know, Co-Creation Hub, like they said, even beyond them, you can get a lot of support, and I hope that a lot of people would, you know, come forward. But I have a final question for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to Nii on the first segment about the fact that Google, Microsoft, and all those big players are coming into the African market.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't consider CC Hub a small player. But how is this affecting the small player? How is this, you know, he gave a very good, you know, plus side, which is, you know, employment, and then people learn and then they go do bigger things. But is there a risk that people can get complacent and, you know, just, you know, not be innovative? What would you think?
I don't think so. So we've had this question will always come, and you know, maybe I'm not the best person to answer because all the organizations you mentioned actually work with CC Hub. So if you go to our website, you probably find their logo at the bottom.
So you have a conflict of interest.
it's really not about conflict of interest, actually. What I tell people is that for innovation and technology innovation in particular to grow, you need a vibrant and strong ecosystem. So and that ecosystem would include those organizations that you mentioned. Because a Google is there, because a Microsoft is there or Nokia, doesn't mean a small player in Nigeria cannot come up. They actually build that strong part of the ecosystem that you need as a small player to thrive. Because there are so many services, so many products that the market is desperate for that these big organizations can't get to. They are fat, and some of them will also struggle to innovate and innovate quickly as well. And that's where small businesses will stand a chance. So I don't see them as a threat in any way. I see them as the key part of the puzzle that we'll need to build a strong ecosystem.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. You know, honestly, I could go on with this conversation, but I'm going to you know, wrap it up right now. But I want to tell you that I'm really inspired by what you guys are doing. And I'm hoping that you guys get even more success, phenomenal success, because this is what Africa needs. And I will be in your innovation center when next I'm in Lagos. I promise
you. We'll look forward to hosting you, Tope.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thanks for having me.
future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com. How do you know if you're living with an addict? If you think you know all the recognizable signs, you probably don't. If you're listening to and reading from the so-called experts, you probably don't. You need to hear from a parent, just like yourself, who has been there and can tell you what it's like firsthand. Please listen to Afflicted by Addiction with Bradley DeHaven. Our program is heard every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. It just might save your life or the life of someone you love.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope. That's T-O-P-E at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa. And I have had an exciting time so far today. And I think it's even about to get more exciting. You'll notice that my first two guests today were from Nigeria. And two episodes ago, I mentioned that we were going to start, you know, helping listeners to understand Africa so that we can better engage Africa. And that is particularly for those of us in the diaspora who hear these opportunities and want to take up some of these opportunities. And like Devine said, she said, you know, how can you take up the opportunities when you don't know Africa? So in today's final segment, I have one of my loyal listeners who is going to share with us something you don't know about Nigeria. And Kolade Kayode is Skyping in from London. Kolade, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you. Every time I finish the show, I look out for your email because I know I get feedback from you. It's such a huge honor that you stay up to listen to the show. Thank you. Really, really good. Thank you.
No, I should actually thank you for really according me and honor to appear on your show tonight. It's such an honor to be called to really talk about my country, Nigeria. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Oh, well, great. The last time, actually, when I met you, when I was in London recently, you were just coming from Nigeria. So I think you've come with a bag full of information.
Oh, I like to think so. I have information which many of your listeners may not know about Nigeria. There's a lot of negativity associated with that country, and I'm hoping that I can really change that. What people think about Nigeria with information that I have for them tonight.
Okay, fantastic. So run with it. Tell me what you want to tell me about Nigeria.
First of all, let us start with some of the demographics about the people that make up this country, Nigeria. It is obviously a well-known fact that Nigeria is the most populous black nation in the world with over 160 million people. But what a lot of people do not know is it's the makeup of these 170 million people that we have over 529 languages in Nigeria.
Wow.
Indeed. And out of that 529, there's 522 living languages. Or the seven are now extinct, 22 are institutional, 80 are developing, and 358 are vigorous. 20 of us are a little bit in trouble, and 42 are dying.
Wow.
So we have, interesting makeup of people in Nigeria.
Huh, interesting. I didn't know that. I could, if you'd asked me how many languages Nigerians spoke, I would have said maybe 50, 500 and change.
Wow. 529, yes, indeed, 529, and with 522 are leaving, very, very active languages.
Wow, interesting. That is interesting. That is really interesting. Wow, okay. So, well, that's a good one. Second point people don't know about Nigeria.
Another point which people may not know is Nigeria, and this is still concentrating on the people that make up Nigeria, that Nigeria has one of the highest rate of twin births in the world. And Nigeria has a twin capital of the world in a town in one of the states in Nigeria called Igbora, and which has, for every 19 births, we have three sets of twins in that particular town.
Oh.
I think it's a very interesting fact that Nigeria has one of the highest twin birth rates in the world.
Huh, interesting. Interesting. Wow, I need to go visit them in that town because that's one of my ambitions. I have to have twins. You all heard it now. So I better go marry somebody from Igbora. That's probably what I need to do.
I think I'm looking for twins myself, so I wouldn't be doing much.
Interesting. Wow, great point. Okay.
Moving on now to some of the historical landmarks in that country. Many of your listeners tonight may have heard of the Great Wall of China. Who hasn't heard about the Great Wall of China? But many of them may not have heard about the Great Wall of Benin in Nigeria, which actually is considered to be the longest ancient earthworks in the world and probably the largest man-made structure on Earth. Wow. Many people don't even know that.
Wow. It's in Benin, in Nigeria, in Edo State?
That's correct. That is correct. Although a lot of it is now in a very decrepit state, that the state is currently doing a lot of efforts to reinstate it to what it was previously. But, of course, it's in a very decrepit state. Huh. But a lot of people don't know about this. It's as ancient as the Great Wall of China. In fact, it's just as historical, no less historical than the Great Wall of China.
Interesting. I have to, these are the opportunities for tourism and opportunities to actually earn more money in Nigeria. So if you're listening and you're from Edo State or you're close to Edo State, you better organize tours for people to go see this wall. Well, I will be organizing tours. I better start, a business doing that. Okay, let's move on to the next point.
Yeah, because one of the great things that I think your show focused on today is about business opportunities in Nigeria. And I'm now moving into business opportunities. It's obviously no longer news that Nigeria is a petroleum-producing country. But, of course, what a lot of your listeners may not know is that only accounts for 14% of Nigeria's GDP. Nigeria is actually a very agriculture-based economy and has 44% of its GDP from agriculture. And obviously, although there's a lot of importation of food into that country, there's so much focus now on agriculture that this is going to be stopping in a number of years from now on.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting fact because there's so much focus now on agriculture that and Nigeria has so much arable land with over 300,000 kilometers of arable land for farming.
Wow. That's really interesting. We discussed agriculture on this show like two episodes ago.
And, indeed, I was listening. Yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And I on that show I learned that over 90% of the good land in quote is in Africa and Latin America. So this is to hear that this much is in Nigeria is is a good thing.
Indeed, absolutely. And then moving on to another very fascinating point, which is about there's so much focus on petroleum and oil and gas. But, of course, what a lot of people don't know is that in addition to that, Nigeria has 34 solid minerals located in more than 450 sites across the country. We have 639 million metric tons of coal, 3 billion tons of proven deposits of iron ore, 27 billion barrels of bitumen. And huge quantities of gold in explorable quantities. And a lot of people don't know that.
Wow. It's very interesting that you would mention these business opportunities because for the Nigerians or other Africans who are listening, mm-hmm. who are in the U.S., there's actually a very good opportunity, which you sent to me, actually, for people to go ahead and take up these opportunities. There's a World Investment Conference happening mm-hmm. on September 20th and 21st in New Jersey. It's been organized by the Nigerians in the Diaspora Organization. And, you know, if you're hearing all these facts that Kolade is putting out, and you want to, you know, set up a company that takes people from New Jersey or from California to see the Great Wall of Benin, you better be at this conference. You can, I think you can reach them at NIDONJ.org. That is NIDONJ.org. I want to be at the conference because I want to take up some of these opportunities. I think, you know, this is going to be fascinating.
That's right. That's right. And moving on the economic front, many of your listeners may not know that Nigeria is actually one of the four fastest growing economies in the world, and is on course to be one of the largest, 20 largest economies by the year 2020. And this is not just a fact that's been made up by Nigerian image makers. This is confirmed by agencies such as Fitch, S&P's, and Goldman Sachs. And they consider Nigeria to be one of the next 11 countries. The N11 countries that will be contributing a huge global impact to the global economy.
Wow. So Nigeria is not just, thank God, this is a good thing to know Nigeria for, the B11, not the 4-9 or fraudulent country. This is fantastic. I think I have time for one more, and I want you to wow me with this last one.
Oh, I think this is going to be really, your listeners are going to like this one. Nigeria is the only African country that owns and operates its own spacecraft.
That's not true.
No, that is very true.
Really?
Yeah, that's correct.
Space? No way. Are you sure about this?
No, this is confirmed. This is confirmed news. I'm not making this up.
Are you sure you're not working for the Nigerian Ministry of Information? Dude.
Well, I have no connection to that. Not at all.
Wow, that is great. I really feel proud today. You know, all my guests who have called in today, including you, have made me feel really proud to be Nigerian because of this enormous amount of opportunities and, you know, and talents and good things coming out of the country. I want to thank you so much, Kolade, not just for this, you know, information that you've shared with me today, but also for listening and for always giving your feedback on the show.
Oh, and all the pleasure is mine, sister. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. And thank you for listening to Impact Africa today. Everybody who's listening from all over the world and those who will listen in about 12 hours when we have the repeat broadcast. This has really been an inspiring run for me. This is the 8th episode and I just keep loving it. I want to thank all the team at Voice America Talk Radio, Roland, Doug, Jeff, and Randy. I also want to thank all my unofficial contributing producers, Idris Bello, Miriam Paibo, Kolade Kayode, and everybody who really loves this show and sends in their tips and sends in guest suggestions. If you have something that you think we should know about your country that we don't already know, send it to me at tope@ourfinancialcoach.com. I look forward to seeing you all again next week, Thursday. Until then, please keep impacting Africa. Good night.
Thank you again for tuning in to Impact Africa. Please join Tope Fajingbesi again next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.